expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Southern Minds.
Who dat?
Now that I can't hear.
Sorry.
If I had it turned up,
I would have screamed a little louder.
We can fix it both ways.
As Dad used to say, sing a little louder and you'll get more pay.
See the yellow one?
Yeah.
Turn the yellow one all the way up.
Yeah, attorney. Hey, shut up.
You guys are live on the radio. Stop messing around.
Blow my ear.
Merry Christmas, Travis. Right.
Merry Christmas to you.
Kicker in the shin. Today is Sunday, December 19th, 2021, and my name is Mark Kent, I'm your host once again for Sovereign Mind Radio. Wow. That's the end of the year. This is going to be our annual funky Christmas music show that we have every year.
Yeah, because as far as I know, we will not be live in the studio the day after Christmas. It's going to be a recording.
There you have it.
Actually, the 26th is Sunday.
Christmas is the 25th, so the 26th is the day after Christmas.
But you don't think 26. That they'll be doing the studio?
I was told that I'm still on schedule, so that means that I'm going to be here live.
Well, I'll be here with you.
Well, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Anyway, I'm here in the studio in the great city of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And Travis in that corner.
I don't think we have a couple of special guests today.
We've got Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter here. They're going to hold over from Jefferson State of Mind, and we're going to beat this horse to death on the Board of Supervisors because they need it really super bad. So let's start with that. And
are you going to go to Richard's?
Yeah, that's exactly where we're headed. Is Richard Gallardo did a little bit of a Freedom of Information Act this week. I'm pulling it up right here in front of me so I can get it in front of me. You know, he did a Freedom of Information Act with Ruben Cruz, the county council. Not really a stand-up guy, if you ask me, but then what do I know? So he got this on December 17th. And what's interesting about this is the first thing that blows my mind about this thing is there's like 900 something employees in Health and Human Services. So he requested a complete list of Health and Human Services employees for the county, full-time, part-time, extra help, including name, title, department, and current monthly salaries, which, by the way, don't reflect any of their benefits. And so we've got Karen Ramstrom in here, like 20,000 some change dollars a month. But you know, last time I checked, 20,000 times 12 is like 240,000. And I saw it was like upwards around three something. So with benefits, she's got another 100 grand in benefits easy, plus on top of that. And, you know, not to, you know, go into that as much as just that, you know, these figures are kind of deceptive in themselves as far as what they're getting paid. And there's no benefits included. So when they're saying 20,000 a month, it's probably more like, 25,000 a month.
Oh, easily, yeah. And also, you know, Leonard Modi did make mention that we needed the $34 million that the state wants to use as blackmail.
Was that before or after they gave themselves raises?
That was after. Mm. Yet he said we needed the $34 million, and as you just explained, Mark, and you're right, the amount of money that is spent on these raises is insane. Some of them got 25% raises.
I think the term 25%? He used.
25%?
Yes.
I think,
wow.
25%. I think the term he used was the county was desperately needed the money.
Yeah, he did.
And so I,
I'm
thinking he doesn't know the meaning of desperate, or I don't know the meaning of desperate, because desperate means typically, I guess we could look it up, that you're in really bad shape and you need to have that money. But I guess maybe that means that they need to have the money for raises.
Well, didn't he say too that it didn't matter what strings were attached to the money because of being desperate and we needed the money? Isn't that what he said?
I don't remember that part.
Yeah,
he might have.
He didn't say it in that way, but what he's saying is that basically you turned down $34 million. You know, really? I want to hear that because
and then votes on the raises.
And then the inference is that it doesn't matter what strings are attached
because Jeremy
Edwards brought it up, and I thought it was very appropriate that. Well, they're going to lock in the future boards of supervisors to the agreements that they made with the state on the mandates and getting the money. So if they said, hey, you need to implement a lockdown and face mask mandates and vaccine mandates for your child down to 6 months old, then we would have to actually abide by that. Or we would owe the money back. Now, wow, that's kind of an obligation to the future Board of Supervisors. It could be a real problematic thing because what if we found out that all the mandates were crap? What if we find out that the masks don't work? What if we find out that the vaccines don't work very well or are actually dangerous? What if we find out that all of this stuff that they're saying we need to do isn't going to be in our best interest, then we have to do it anyway, or we owe the money back after, by the way, they've already spent it.
So what happens on the other side of that, though? What happens if we find out it's all crap and there is no strings attached? Then what happens?
Oh, there's strings attached.
Oh, yeah, I know.
There's always strings attached.
They admitted that, yeah. Anyway, I think the interesting part about that, talking about Richard Gallardo.
I believe he's going to be on the line with us.
He's on the line right now.
Yeah.
In fact, if you don't mind, Rich.
Yeah, good morning, Rich.
Good morning, buddy.
Yeah. Hey there, let me plug into earpiece here.
This is Rich Gallardo from Shasta County Citizens Journalists, the new organization. Go ahead.
You guys are kind. Thank you so much. Several items on this document. First of all, why do we have 991 health and public health employees in a county of only 180,000?
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know why that number is so large. Well, actually, we do know. Anyway, I think this document gives us a benchmark to start cleaning house. I think it's a really good starting point. And then, the redacted names, right? Terry covered it last hour, but I think they're covering up names that are probably people that are working in that department that should not be working via conflict of interest, probably.
The double dippers?
Double dippers. They're probably members of non-governmental organizations getting county contracts. I mean, who knows, right? So I did ask Patrick Jones in person and by letter to tell Matt Pontes and Ruben Cruz to demand them that they unredact those names. So we're going to work on that. It's holiday, right? It's the holiday, so who knows when it's going to happen. But Patrick Jones is involved to try to get those names disclosed. You've already talked about the salaries. Excuse me, but wow. I don't know if anybody has the time to add up all 991 numbers in that right-hand column, but it would just be interesting and again, that's only the monthly salary, not the benefits, but it would just be interesting to see what that total is, you know?
We might have to make that a personal challenge because We are pretty good at adding up numbers at where I go. So maybe we'll add those up and have them ready for next week, because I think it's germane to the desperation that the county is saying that we're at in this stage of acquiring money with lots of strings and mandates that are going to hamstring our county for who knows how long, or we pay it back.
How long have the offices been in effect? Do we know how long and when these got developed?
2026.
No. These offices that are on this list, when did they start appointing or
have these always
been in office?
Saying it another way, have we always had 900 employees working for Health and Human Services? Or when did they start working for Health and Human Services?
Yeah.
Is this a recent development, or have we already had this for the last 20 years?
What do you think, Rich?
Yeah, that's easy enough to find out with a Records Act request for their budget on an annual request. Yeah, but that's easy enough to figure that out. But Wynn mentioned it last hour. Yeah, they've probably hired up to 100 COVID extra help employees in the last year and a half, all paid for with federal and state funding. But they're not.
I wonder if they are temporary.
They're what's called on call as needed. So those are temporary positions by the state and federal funding. However, if the county keeps those people on beyond that that funding, then the county now has to pay that.
So would that be part of the strings, is that they have to hire a bunch of new people for this COVID stuff as far as the money? Is that, I'm pretty sure that must be it. Is there any way we can get a copy of the of all the strings that are attached? Is there some documentation? I know that Jeremy Edwards referred to that he had read through the documentation as to what the requirements were to get the money. I'd like to go through that maybe in an on-air program, but I need a little help to get that so I can get some homework done.
Yeah, that's easy enough to get with a Records Act request to Matt Pontes to get that. That's easy enough to get.
Rich, I want to read something on the letter you sent, and thank you for that information. And again, folks, I think we all need to thank Richard Gallardo and Lori Bridgeford for the hard work they do. Hours and hours and hours. Thank you, brother. Anyway, I want to read something here that on the letter that you sent me from the response of the county, and a certain segment of that. I want to read it to you, and then I'd like your reaction. Names withheld with disclosure would pose a legitimate threat to their privacy rights and related safety concerns. Then she quoted, California code, or government code 6254C, K, and 6255. The public interest in disclosing these employees' names is significantly outweighed by preserving their safety, well-being, and I am the person responsible for this determination. That's Natalia K. Ebersole, Deputy County Council, Shasta County. Now, when I went through that list that you sent me, there were redacted names in there, and for those of you living in Alpine County, redacted means they put a black line through that person's name. There were several eligibility supervisors. The salaries weren't really high. There was employment and a training worker, number two. There was a social worker, several assistant social workers, senior social workers, a public health nurse, an office assistant three, and a registered certified professor. And it seems to me that, you asking for the salaries of these people, obviously, and we talked about it last hour, constitutionally they have to give it to you, number one. And number two, how could they be harmed, and why do they have to worry about their safety? This is Health and Human Services. This isn't the FBI or a police officer working undercover or anything like that. What's your response to all that? It's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, you just gave me about 10 things to respond to.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Well, I want to hear them.
Well, this law that they're using to privacy and safety, they don't have any other specific legal reason to deny. So they had to pick that generic clause in the government code, which is subjective, right? Mm-hmm. They just make it up and say, well, we're going to use this one. And by the way, if Rich says, what is the security and privacy concerns? They won't answer me because the law does not require them to answer me. So they're just using it to hide. And if people are not aware, laws are passed. Our state constitution has 500 plus amendments. So our state constitution is basically watered down and is basically almost null and void because of those 500 amendments. If you valued that constitution, you wouldn't amend it 500 times. Anyways, and then also in the Public Records Act, maybe I've mentioned this before, but you may not get emails and official correspondence of state legislators. It is specifically forbidden in the Public Records Act. So you tell me how that's not a violation of that the state constitutional clause. Of course it is, because we live in a criminal state. They pass laws to usurp our rights and our freedoms and even their own constitution, for God's sake. Anyways, they don't have any safety and privacy concerns if they're public health employees. No, of course not. Absolutely not. They're hiding. They are absolutely hiding because when we get these names, and we will, trust me, it's going to open up a huge can of worms.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list, and it's like eligibility worker. One is okay and one is not. Social worker. And then we've got a disease inspector special.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What? It doesn't make any sense because why would they be?
Are they better than the other ones on the list?
What the heck is a disease investigation specialist?
The investigator specialists are fairly new. Those were created with the COVID grant money. Allegedly, they're going to be the contact tracers. Allegedly, we'll see what they do, but they're calling them investigators. No, they are not peace officers. No, they are not public officers. I looked up their job description. They are not even Penal Code 832 public officers. They're just strictly a government bureaucrat with no police arrest powers, zero. Now, that could change, of course. However, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, I got eight things in my head right now. But
Rich.
Let me get it out before and then Wynn go after this. There are four shooties, last name shooties, and Carrie Shootie is a department head in public health. There are a total of four shooties on that list. Can you say nepotism? Go ahead, Wynn.
Okay, that's where I was going. maybe there are family members in there that are, being awarded or rewarded with these jobs that, pay whatever they pay to get them employed. And then also, what about maybe they work in several departments in the county, so they're getting a full-time salary in one department and a full-time salary in another department. Could that be happening as well, so that, they're getting themselves into a pickle?
No, I doubt they're double-dipping as a county employee. Again, what I said earlier, they're probably double-dipping as far as being on, maybe they're on a board of
a nonprofit or something.
Organization. They're on a board of a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Direct conflict of interest is probably
there
why
go.
Those names are redacted. But we won't know until we get the name.
Well, I find it interesting that Natalia K. Ebersole is the one who wrote, "I am the person responsible for the determination."
Why wouldn't the department?
She.
The law requires that, Terry.
No. What I'm saying is that it's interesting that Cruz didn't answer that himself. That Ebersole is the one who said she was responsible for and made the determination of those names that were redacted, which means she went through the list and she's the one who determined somebody may have their safety at risk. So it'd be interesting to see. It's kind of like Wynn said, maybe she didn't fall on a sword, maybe she was pushed onto one. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I've done several dozen Records Act requests in the last year and a half, and after about the first two or three, the county obviously saw, holy crap, Mr. Gallardo's going to look for some dirt, and then so Miss Ebersole, forgot your last name, Ebersole, she was given the task, or she was shoved onto the sword, and she is the one that is directly answering all of my Records Act requests. I did a Records Act request with SHASCOM, that's our Public Safety Joint Powers Authority, okay, separate from the county office, county lawyer, any county, and the SHASCOM Records Act request, I got it back from county council, Ebersole, whatever her name is.
Yes.
So every entity in this county has been given a memo on Rich Gallardo's Records Act because one person, Ebersole, and who does she work for? Cruz.
Yep.
They want to absolutely track everything that I'm getting. They absolutely are doing that intentionally.
I have a question here. I've been looking at this, and the redacted names seem to be in two departments or something. We got Social Services and BEN Administration. What is BEN Administration? I wonder. And that seems to be prevalent through all of these redactions. Is they're either with the BEN Administration or the, and that seems to be a big deal. There's a bunch of them. It seems like they're in two departments, and mental health is the other one. Health services, and then mental health department. I guess MH would stand for. But they all seem to be connected to this, or most of them to this BEN Administration. Does anybody know what that is?
No, I have not researched that quite yet.
Yeah, I'm just curious. What department is that at the? What is the BEN Administration? Maybe we can do a little homework on that.
The administrative organizational chart in public health probably will have that in there.
Yeah, so we need to find anyway. We need to find that out because that seems to be. I'm kind of Googling it now just to see what a BEN Administration.
It's not really coming up. Too much.
Well, can I say something ahead of things? Then I'm gonna get out of here. Let me say something. I'm gonna get out of here. I'm expecting another visit by some goons because of everything I've been exposing.
Oh, I know what it is.
I'm gonna get in front of this. Okay. I'm expecting visits by goons. My place, my brother's place. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna expect another visit. Remember, I was visited last year along with five other people by law enforcement. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'm going to get in front of it and say they're coming. I know they're going to come. And, we'll see what happens. It's not going to be pleasant. I'll be fine by the end of the day. It's not going to be pleasant for them. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, here's what BEN stands for, Rich. It's a benefits administration.
That's the only thing I can come up with.
Does that connect some dots for anybody?
Good job, Mark.
Yeah.
Good job,
that's
Mark.
That's all I could come up with.
Wow.
But it doesn't say.
Yeah, but that's what these guys are doing. I think they're managing their own benefit packages. They're all on the benefits part of the administration as well as their department, whether it's Health and Human Service or mental health. And then they're over there and making decisions as far as how their benefits are.
What's the job description under that one?
Well, they have 991 employees, so holy crap, they're going to need at least one person to monitor their benefits package.
Yeah, but you look at this list, it's almost
all of them. Wouldn't that be a conflict of interest? Is that you're managing your own benefit packages? Wouldn't that be the administration should have separate people managing benefit packages for different departments?
No,
I don't know the answer to that question.
So they should probably have one department doing it for the entire county.
That's what I'm saying. Why would they be on both spots in the county as far as the different departments?
Yeah, the different departments.
All right, well, there's going to be plenty more that comes out of this document as it gets crunched and chewed on and spit out. But any other questions for now? Otherwise, I'm going to get out of here.
Hey, Rich, how do people get a hold of you and Lori with things that they want to report to or call you, email you, whatever?
Yeah, the email is S as in Sam, C as in Charles, J as in John, @protonmail.com. The phone number, I believe, is 530-962-5168. I'll put it in the chat if that's not correct.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rich.
Have a good day, folks.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Rich. We appreciate it.
We have caller number two. We have a couple minutes to the break. So.
I believe it's is Steve with Siskiyou still on?
Siskiyou Steve.
Yeah.
Are you on, Steve?
Travis is busy. One second. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here.
What you got for us this morning?
Well, Terry said it a little while ago, and I've said it several times over the years, is that we got 23 counties that are supposedly the state of Jefferson, and with your worldwide coverage of your programs, which are so wonderful, the people should be waking up enough to understand the tyranny of what we're up against. You know, this appointment of sheriffs, this 991, employees for the health department, that's all part of the communist movement. We've got this yahoo up here, supervisor from Mount Shasta. They appointed him president of the Supervisors of California Association. And he's a buffoon. He's a spineless, backless idiot that's been up there for 12 years, I think, because Mount Shasta loves them. They're very liberal. There are a lot of conservative people in Mount Shasta, by the way, but they're not controlling Mount Shasta like the liberals are. But this guy got appointed so they could work their process through this monkey to control our Siskiyou County through this guy. You know, and if anybody should have been on that presidential board or appointment would have been Ray Help. He was in the hangar with Trump that last year or 2 years ago when we had all these fires and Trump was still in the presidency. You know, so they just... We got 23 counties who can speak.
We got to go, Steve. We got to wrap it up. Okay. We got to go to a break.
Thank you.
All right, thanks,
all right,
Steve.
Thanks for calling in. And with that, we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM.
Somebody selling a new religion. Somebody selling a lie. Somebody wants all the strife and division. It's driving us out of our minds. They're telling the world not to trust their own eyes. They're telling the people truth for their power and gain, and taking whatever we've got. Some of you eat all the lies you've been fed. Some of you just go along.
Staying healthy isn't easy, especially during the holidays. Watching your diet, staying active, managing stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and effortlessly adjusts to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Bring proven quality sleep home for the holidays. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Merry Christmas, joyous happy season. Merry, merry Christmas time.
I don't see that much, but we keep in touch.
I got you a gift card.
It was getting late, lost track of the date.
I got you a gift card.
I got you something fine in the checkout line.
I got you a gift card.
You get your coffee free on account of me.
I got you a gift card.
I've been working on stuff.
shop.
I got your gift card.
Wrapped in green and red, have some Panera bread.
I got your gift card.
Buddy, you're in luck, it's for $50.
I got your gift card.
Meet you right back here, same time next year.
I'll give you a gift card.
Where do I get this hip card?
That's a good song. Wow.
I'm always digging for them, you know. I was trying to find something. Always trying to find something funny or different. Okay, so let's start talking about election fraud a little bit here. Now, I've got a clip to play here.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly. I've got a clip to play here. And I think this is pretty weird if we look at this, because this is Joe Biden the other day in a speech, and then we'll talk about it after we listen to it. So let me turn up my sound, make sure. Are we all geared to go here, Travis? All right, here we go. Let's see what we got here. This is Joe Biden.
It's no longer just who gets the vote or making it easy for eligible people to vote. It's about who gets to count the vote and whether your vote counts at all.
Wow.
Now,
well, haven't we heard something about this in history?
I was looking up the fact. And as you know, we go to the fact checkers, you know, fact check. Purportedly, Stalin, quote, was about counting votes that was not in general elections. Does that really matter?
Wow.
Because they're saying, oh, it was because it was about a party line vote, you know, back in the 20s. The research. And this is why it's so screwed up. Stalin says something like this, and now the fact checkers are running cover for Biden because it's so freaking socialist, communist, tyrannical dictatorship crap. Now they got to try to figure out a way to spin it to where, well, he wasn't really talking about the general election.
He didn't really mean who counted the votes. Does your vote really count?
This is what he said. I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how, but it is extraordinarily important is this, who counts the votes and how. Gee, there's not a Freudian thing going on there. You know, this comes from the, I got this article from a couple of places. I'm looking at the Republic Broadcasting Network right now, and the title is, Stalin and Biden Agree. Who gets to count the votes matters more than who votes. Now, you can't make this crap up. I mean, is he that daft that he would say something like that?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's just,
and if you don't know history or do any research or know anything, you would know that information.
Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Stalin, was he a bad person?
Well, then Biden adds one more sentence to that. Besides that, whether your vote counts at all. So it's about who gets to count the votes and whether your vote counts at all. So then what is he doing? He's muddying the waters again, trying to look like that the minorities aren't getting their votes counted properly. So it really matters who counts the vote, not who votes, as long as all the votes get counted. Are you kidding me? I mean, you can't make this crap up. I mean, gee, Stalin, maybe you and Biden need to have a conversation.
So what's the problem with the machines and stuff? I mean, why should you have any questions about those machines that you put your vote in and everything? Because it's the person on the other end that counts them that matters about anything.
You can't make this stuff up. And then they try to spin it like, well, gee, Stalin didn't mean the general election.
No, he would never mean that.
Yeah, he didn't mean he was taken over by the general elections. Really? So it's okay.
If you don't like it, that's okay. I'll take you out. You know, I'm Stalin. I don't have to worry about it.
I mean, but this is how out of touch Joe Biden is with either reality, his handlers, his own brain. It's about who counts the votes. Wow. Amazing. And there's no election fraud either. And if you bring it up, let's see, but the Democrats brought up election fraud after Hillary lost. I mean, all of them, oh, you can't trust the vote anymore. Oh, God, how'd he win? Oh, he cheated, blah, 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 blah. Try to bring up something about Biden on a mainstream channel. on the fact that, oh, he's the most popular president in the world, right? Because, or in the history of our country, because he got 10 million more votes than Trump did after Trump got like 10 million more votes than the first time that he won. And of course, Joe Biden campaigned so well. And, you know, he had such a great campaign in his
basement.
And
his statement doesn't even hold true about who counts it. Because, look, we question in Arizona and other people want to count the votes. And they're like, oh, no, you can't count them.
You're
what
an extremist. You're an extremist, homophobic, racist, misogynist, pedophile, something.
Yeah. So again, it doesn't even who counts it. They won't allow the audits to go. Well, they're going through anyway. But look how they question and downplayed all of
Are they? I mean, gosh darn, Attorney General going to prosecute anybody or charge anybody?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything for a while on it. I'm just saying. But look at how they got in such an uproar about recounting the votes during the presidential election. How dare you guys question that?
Also, did I hear in that quote, he said, if your vote even gets counted?
They're not projecting, are they?
Yeah, right? That's what he said, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Travis, we don't like you. We're not counting yours. You're out of here.
Well, exactly. Oh, yeah, right?
He's obviously a racist white person who probably grew up
on a farm
in the Middle East and raised goats.
I love goats. Pizza. They're delicious, too.
I'm liking the goats, sir. I mean... I just couldn't... I mean, it's just amazing, you know... And then he goes on to tout his accomplishments.
Which are what?
He
made it from the helicopter to the White House without being told where to go.
They asked Jen Psaki.
He went off the path for a little while.
They asked Jen Psaki the other day. I think that's how you pronounce names. Thank you.
Perfect, yeah.
And so they asked her, hey, what are his accomplishments as far as his foreign policy? And she's like, I'll have to go talk to the president about that, and you know we'll come because I don't want to give you an answer that
we'll
you
circle
know, not
back
a,
around on this
answer.
One in a couple of weeks.
We'll circle back and we'll circle the wagons. And,
yeah.
Oh, thanks. That's a great question, though, and I can't really think of anything.
ask me in a few years. Maybe I'll have an answer for you.
So I'm going to go through his list of accomplishments here, the talking points that was sent to reporters listing his accomplishments.
And it's the end. Oh. Have a good day. That's the end.
Yeah, inflation is at a 40-year high. Gas prices are soaring. Vaccine mandates are destroying business and supply chain crisis is crippling the country. He bragged about the vaccine rates and the distribution without mentioning anything else. And he didn't even mention Trump's Operation Warp Speed, which, by the way, I think Trump needs to back off of this stuff because we're, you know, this bragging about this Operation Warp Speed and getting vaccinated is, you know, not a good idea.
In regards to Joe Biden's accomplishments, they're good or bad, right?
Well,
just accomplishments. That doesn't mean that it was for the better.
You're splitting hairs. Come on.
Okay.
He claimed a credit for a 70% jump in vaccination rate year over year.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing to accomplish. Through coercion, mandates, unethical rules of law that don't have any force, by circumventing the Constitution. Yeah, okay.
So was he taking the jab long before everybody else?
I think he's got his own jab. Okay. I think
Biden jab?
I think he's got the Biden jab because you notice that, you know, he looks like, first thing that I notice about Biden when you see him is how he walks. He walks like he's wooden. He walks like Pinocchio or something.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
He walks really
weird.
Well,
he kind of looks Pinocchio, and then, except he doesn't have the long nose.
So Pinocchio's a pretty good example. But but he walks funny. I mean, he walks funny. Is that just me?
No, we'll leave that alone.
Okay, so he walks funny, and then he talks funny. Okay? Because I'm sort of down, I get him in front of a shut up. I mean.
You know what I mean, that other stuff.
Come on, man. You know, I mean, so.
Everybody likes my hairy legs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why I learned about roaches. And so there's some problems there. But you know what I do notice, and the reason I bring it up is that it seems like he's a lot worse one day than he is the next day. So I'm thinking,
Has he got a double?
I'm thinking he's like he's got the Biden jab. He just got juiced, man. I mean, he comes in there and he's like all upbeat and pretty soon, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day he's kind of like leaning over his podium with his head down, you know.
So Nancy Pelosi and Biden must be taking the same jab.
Well, according to Pelosi, Biden's perfect.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
He's perfect.
So they must be doing the same juicing at the same time.
Well,
right?
He got the walking skeleton talking to the walking Krang. You know, he's like a brain. He's like a brain trust. You know, he's perfect. So
that'd be a good song to do, a parody song called "The Biden Shuffle." I'm gonna write some lyrics this week.
There you go. Jab me once, jab me twice.
And let Nancy sing it.
Jab me once again.
Oh, God,
yeah. Yeah, have Nancy sing it. Yeah.
Well, is that with her teeth in or out?
Oh, that's gross.
And with that, we're taking a break.
Are we?
No.
Never mind. So I'm going to go through. So.
All right. What's the next one?
His next accomplishment is he took credit for 99% of schools reopening. Huh?
What?
99% of the schools reopening. He took credit for that.
Were they closed?
I think they were. He didn't mention the fact that many public schools are abusing children with mask mandates, even though he promised to shut down the virus. No mention of public schools going back to viral learning because of the Omicron, the Decepticron variant, which, by the way, is like a common cold. And so let's
he must not have come to California and talked with Newsom or anything about what he did to all the
students.
Well, then
you got Mussolini down there saying, "Okay, we're going to shut everybody's indoors. Needs a mask mandate, except." The guys that live in San Francisco and Contra Costa and San Mateo.
Yeah, because they don't get it.
It's because the virus is really super intelligent. It's an intellectual virus. It only attacks if you are in the other outlying counties in California. And so that rule took effect this last Wednesday. In fact, I went into a store on Saturday morning. And I walked right in, sat down, started doing my business, and blah, 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 blah. And the guy I was doing business with, no problem at all. And then Joe Schmo comes up and says, it's required that you have a mask. And I'm like, well, it's required for you to have a mask because I ain't wearing it. So I guess I'll leave if I have to. But, you know, everybody knows it's BS. You don't know that? Well, I get it. If you have to work there, they're going to shut you down. But
right.
Then why is that? Why would we exempt San Francisco from that rule? Isn't San Francisco the one that's spiking?
No, they wouldn't.
So
I mean, the homeless don't get it. You know, they can't contract it. Don't you know that?
It says in this article
down all the time. That's why.
And this is from ABC News, Dr. Susan Phillips, San Francisco health officer, who I'm sure is getting paid much more money than our health officer.
I would hold my breath on that one.
Maybe not. It's a recognition of all the thought and care that San Francisco residents have been putting into staying safe as possible. What the hell does that have to do with science and reality?
Let me get this straight, because they don't wear masks and stuff. They're safer than us that are in Shasta County that or any other place that refuse to wear masks. We're not safe.
So the fully vaccinated.
We're not smart enough. They are smart enough.
The fully vaccinated people can go maskless into indoor locations. While if you're not vaccinated and you don't have your vaccination card, you will be shot. No.
I went to I was in Sacramento yesterday. I went to a store and they said on the sign, it said mask required even if vaccinated.
Oh, that's because you're in Sacramento, not San Francisco.
Right, but I mean, like, that's how they're close and they're so different in the different.
Well, because in San Francisco, there's big money out there going, we're not doing it, or something, or Gabby boy needs to, loosen up on us because we're getting kind of tired of this, and we're sort of kind of tired of all them crashing into our stores and stealing all our merchandise, and we're getting ready to move.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know, the whole thing is so insane.
Yeah, but it's okay because...
And that was his accomplishment.
Gavin's in charge.
Let's go, Brandon.
It's going to be let's go Gavin pretty soon. Yeah, so they're surging in San Francisco. You know what's interesting is how come all the people on the street, you know, all the homeless guys, are they all wearing masks, do you think?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They don't get it. Don't you know that?
They should all be dead.
They're fine.
Why is that?
I said because they're already sitting down, and COVID doesn't affect you when you're sitting down.
Oh, is that when you're sitting down?
Yeah, you know that.
Oh, I should have known that.
There was a sign in a restaurant that said, wear a mask when you're up and going to the restroom only.
Oh.
So in other words, COVID recognizes when you're standing or sitting.
Yes.
Yes.
And 10 p.m., whatever.
Oh, after 10 p.m.? Yeah.
After
10
p.m., yep.
Yeah, anything after 10 p.m., you're out of luck. You're going to get it.
It's easy. It's really easy to get. Let me see. Just sit down and go to sleep at 10 p.m. You'll be fine.
Now, here's an interesting... okay, well, let's go back to Biden here.
His accomplishments. Down the schools. Now, what did he do?
Biden laughably claims his policies have led to low unemployment rates.
I mean, they believe that. They so believe that.
How stupid do you got to be? I guess when you're bleeding, jobs at, I don't know, 250,000 to 300,000 or 400,000 a week every month since this has beginning, I guess. And when they stop looking, the employment rate, we're down to 4%. Have you looked around at all the businesses that aren't working?
Yeah, it's low because there's no businesses. So I guess if you look at it that way. Yeah, unemployment's low because there's nobody to hire.
There's nobody.
There's no business. I mean, okay, so, yeah, I guess he is. He did accomplish that. Great job. Let's go, Brandon, again.
Number four. Inflation is at a 40-year high.
That's my favorite.
And gas prices are soaring. But Biden suspended reality when he said the president has taken action to address supply chain blockages and address price increases, including the historic release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Yeah, that's why he shut the pipeline down and everything.
But he opened it up in Russia or someplace.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, it's interesting that they released like 55 million gallons from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? That's enough for like 2 days. Consumption of oil worldwide.
All I'm going to say is, let's go, Brandon, once again. Thank you. And the crowd went, yay.
And Biden bragged, the price of gas at the pump has decreased by 10 cents since its peak. So let's see. If it shoots up.
And you're paying $5 a gallon, and it went down 10 cents, we're happy, right?
He's a good guy.
Oh.
He's got it under control because dementia conquers all.
So he forgot the gas.
He forgot what the high peak was and the low.
All you gotta do
is it was $5.25 in Sacramento, and when I got to Redding, it was $4.85.
And I've seen in L.A. it's like six something.
I've seen we're upwards of seven.
And this isn't the premium. This is regular.
Right. Yeah, just like the diesel. You see, diesels are off the charts.
Oh yeah.
Right now.
Who needs diesel?
But he opened up the pipeline for the truckers, right? He did something about the problem with getting merchandise off of the ships, right? Except he raised the diesel price, so now the truckers can't afford to pay fuel in their truck.
And up the union so that nobody wants to work.
Yeah.
You guys are like killjoys. You're like buzzkills.
Sorry, we'll say happier. And
once again, he raised the price of the diesel. Yay.
Merry Christmas. Yay. Yeah, MF-er.
Let's go!
Yeah, let's go, Joe!
Let's go, Joe! Let's be happy, right, Travis?
Did you guys find it coincidence that the Omnidecepticon virus happened very similar to when around holiday season? It's always around this time.
That's because you need to stay away from your
relatives.
That's
because you went to Grandma's house last week.
You killed Grandma!
And you got cookies. And so now,
and you stole
that's
all
the problem.
Cookies and COVID start with C. I get it.
There's other things that start with C, too, but we won't go into that.
Conspiracy theories now. Well,
it's a C-O-N-spiracy.
Well, we probably have another variant coming along if you kind of follow along in Antarctica. So, that, you know, they got...
It's the polar variant. It's the polar cron.
They'll have a new name. I mean, there's more alphabet.
Well, letters, it could be, if it's Antarctica, it'd be the Antichron.
No, they actually got, they named three islands down there, and I forget what the third one is, but one is Delta, Omicron, and then, of course, that's why I say look
the,
forward
the
to
the schnozberries taste like schnozberries. That's the new variant, the schnozberry variant.
Schnozberry.
For Willy Wonka. I don't. It's out of control right now.
I'll take a Razzleberry Chromium code. Yeah, that's it. 19. Would you please?
Oh, but yeah, sadly, like there's Matt this morning played some commercials for kids about getting the shot, and
I saw that.
That made me sad. Heard that.
It's like pretty soon it's going to be. Is there any more grills, sir?
Oh, it was just sad.
Yeah, talk about a twist.
Yeah,
and so here I've got. Here's an interesting clip that we got to play. It's like 4 minutes, so we might have to wait till after the top of the hour to
do
that. Okay, so here's Joe Rogan, and he's interviewing Peter McCullough about vaccines. McCullough, a practiced internist, cardiologist, epidemiologist, and medical advisor for Truth in Health Foundation. Here's what he said to Rogan. Let's hit this right now. Come on, it's playing.
Drug therapy as an outpatient works substantially, and we've had a giant loss of life, a giant number, millions and millions of unnecessary hospitalizations. And it seemed to me, and I've told Tucker Carlson and many others, it seems to me early on there was an intentional, very comprehensive suppression of early treatment in order to promote fear, suffering, isolation, hospitalization, and death. And it seemed to be completely organized and intentional in order to create acceptance for and then promote mass vaccination.
So you believe this is a premeditated thing that they were doing. So they realized that in order to get people enthusiastic about taking this vaccine, the best way to do that was to not have a protocol for treatment.
It's not just my idea. Now it's completely laid out by the book by Dr. Pam Popper, the book recently published by Peter Bregan, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. I wrote one of the introductions. Dr. Leif Leet and Dr. Vladimir Lysenko wrote the other introductions. These books are basically nonfiction. They have 1,000 citations in the Bregan book showing how it was coordinated and planned. Now Bobby Kennedy has his book out, The Real Anthony Fauci. I'm the most mentioned physician in that book. I can tell you that if you want to find the evidence that Moderna was working on the vaccine before the virus ever emanated out of the lab, if you wanted to find the collusions and the operations between the Gates Foundation and Gavi and CEPI and Pfizer and Moderna and the vaccine manufacturers and the Wuhan lab and the National Institutes of Health and Ralph Baric and University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and how all this was organized, if you want to see the Johns Hopkins planning seminar called the SPARS pandemic in 2017, where they had a symposium, people showed up, they wrote up their symposium findings, they published this. It says it's going to be a coronavirus. It's going to be related to MERS and SARS. It's going to come over here to the United States. It's going to shut down cities and frighten people. There's going to be confusion regarding a drug, hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. And we're going to utilize all that in order to railroad the population into mass vaccination. It's laid out in the Johns Hopkins SPARS pandemic training seminar. The only thing they got wrong was the year. They said it was going to be 2025. Instead, it landed a few years early. You have to reconcile with vaccine safety. So the story is, by January 22nd, we already had 182 deaths after the vaccine. January 22nd. For all the vaccines combined, 278 million shots given each year in the United States, kids, adults, me and you, I took two last year, I took one this year, 270 million shots. The average number of deaths that would ever come into our central database, about 150. We've been keeping this database for 20 years. Suddenly, we were at 182. And then it was a very important recognition that many of us had. Say, wait a minute, the CDC and FDA, they didn't have any safety review. They didn't have an external critical event committee. They didn't have a data safety monitoring committee. And they didn't have a human ethics board assigned to the program. It turns out we had the wrong agencies leading the program. The FDA is supposed to be the drug watch government organization. They don't lead clinical programs. The CDC is supposed to be the outbreak evaluation program. They don't lead clinical programs. So, in fact, we actually had the wrong – we had, the fox guarding the chicken coop, in a sense. We had the wrong people leading the programs, and then we didn't have the independent safety committees. So there was nobody to stop the program in February. You know, normally what happens is you get five deaths after any product that's unexplained. black box warning, may cause death. You get to 50 deaths, I don't care if it's 50 million, 60 million people take the drug, you get to 50 deaths, it's off the market, and it gets reviewed for safety. I've been involved with these, Joe, at a national level. We never let a drug go on and be associated with 50 deaths afterwards. We were at 182, and there was no safety review. Remember, I told you in February, I demanded, as a citizen, I demanded a report from the federal government. We needed a report and a press briefing on vaccine safety and efficacy. We never got it.
We'll have to pick it up or finish it on the other side. That's it? All right. Stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Mind Radio. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Senate confirms a big slate of Biden ambassadors to end 2021. Here's correspondent Ken Lormont.
The Senate confirmed more than 30 ambassadors and other Biden administration nominees early Saturday after Majority Leader Chuck Schumer agreed to schedule a vote on sanctions on the company behind the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which will deliver natural gas from Russia to Germany. With many senators anxious to go home for the holidays, Schumer threatened to keep the Senate in for as long as it took to break up a logjam on a broad array of diplomatic and national security nominees. Ken Lorman reporting.
A fire has ripped through a distribution center in North Carolina for the QVC Home Shopping TV Network.
The blaze has caused extensive damage to that facility. The News and Observer says more than 300 employees worked at that building near Rocky Mount when the fire broke out. Someone reported the blaze shortly after 2 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. No injuries immediately reported. The cause of the blaze remains under investigation.
That's correspondent Andrew Stewart. Iraq's military says that two rockets have struck Baghdad's heavily fortified Green Zone today, home of the U.S. Embassy. Military says the morning attack caused no casualties and resulted in only a little property damage. One rocket was destroyed by the embassy's CRAM defense system, and another fell near a national monument, causing damage to two civilian vehicles. Iranian-backed militias are suspected. People in Sudan have taken to the streets across the country today in mass protests against a military takeover and a subsequent deal that reinstates Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok but sidelines his movement. Sudanese authorities tighten security in Khartoum and other cities, barricading military government buildings. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
A trademark battle in Mississippi.
James Meredith says he conquered white supremacy and created a new Mississippi 59 years ago when he became the first black student to enroll in the University of Mississippi, a school whose longstanding nickname, Ole Miss, is rooted in plantation vernacular of the Confederacy. Now a person close to Meredith is selling New Miss merchandise, trying to trademark a logo with cursive script nearly identical to the university's Ole Miss logo. The university is fighting the effort, arguing the merchandise is confusingly similar to its ubiquitous brand. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres arrived in Lebanon today. On a high-profile visit, he says we'll focus on supporting the people of the crisis-stricken country. Guterres is expected to press for reforms from the country's political leaders, who have been deeply divided over key issues leading to a paralysis of the government and the legislature. News and analysis at townhall.com. Those former hostages have finally left Haiti.
They have been flown out of the country following a two-month ordeal and are said to be doing well. Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries says the organization is offering forgiveness to the captors. The group was kidnapped October 16th by the 400 Mawoza gang. The last 12 hostages were freed Thursday following the release of five others previously. It is not known if a ransom was paid. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, December the 19th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday. Actress Elaine Joyce is 78. Jazz musician Lenny White, 72. Magician Chris Angel has 54 candles on his cake. Model Tyson Beckford turns 51 today. Actress Alyssa Milano is 49. Journalist Ronan Farrow, 34. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And don't forget your Hunter Biden action figure, the perfect stocking stuffer.
That thing was funny.
Okay.
Yeah, they actually have one. It's called, and it's a little doll, and he's got his underwear on and his red scarf and his sunglasses, and it says Swamp Prince. Just, you know, thought I'd mention that for you guys looking for the perfect stocking stuffer.
That's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think I'll pass that one by.
I got a couple of people I might want to slip that into their stocking. Nothing to see here.
All right.
Presto, I think I need another
right,
rock.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a Hunter action figure out of my hat.
Oh, my gosh.
Again? Nothing to believe. Yeah. So, McCullough, you know, who we just listened to on the Joe Rogan show, referred to hydroxychloroquine as the leading drug worldwide to treat COVID-19. Now, isn't that just amazing?
Yeah. Thought of that all by himself, did he?
Yeah, he explained that early in the pandemic, the U.S. had the right idea and stockpiled hydroxychloroquine, only later to refuse to release it to any of the million people that needed it from the stockpile. At the same time, he explained, France designated hydroxychloroquine from the over-the-counter drug to prescription only, making it more difficult for people to use. In Australia, doctors used their best judgment and prescribed hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID patients. Oh, yeah, but they were threatened with jail time, McCullough said.
Huh.
During this time, one of the largest hydroxychloroquine manufacturing facilities mysteriously burnt down outside of Taipei, Taiwan.
I wonder how that happened.
It seems to me, he said, early on, there was an intentional, very comprehensive suppression of early treatment in order to promote fear, suffering, isolation, hospitalization, and death. And it was completely organized and intentional in order to create acceptance for and then promote mass vaccination. Wow. Big Pharma's not out of control, are they?
No.
And Joe Biden, you know, I mean, he wouldn't use that money to coerce the states or the local agencies
no.
to follow the plan, would he?
No.
Would they?
And they didn't release it too soon or any of that. I mean, they didn't manufacture it at all. No? No? Got that wrong.
He also told Rogan, that the reason so few medical professionals are willing to speak up against the new anti-scientific COVID regime is that they're under mass formation psychosis.
What?
Mass formation psychosis, meaning that the COVID fear-mongering and propaganda has placed almost the entire professional field in a state of irrational complacency.
Okay.
Look around.
Yeah.
In the U.S., only about 500 doctors really understand what's going on, and there are about a million, he said. Are these doctors beholden to the drug companies, most of them? They get kickbacks? Are they afraid of their government? Are a lot of them
Democrat? All of the above?
Yeah. When asked by Rogan why so many people are fine after getting the COVID vaccine, McCullough said, "The human body is a miraculous thing." But shared his worry about the health ramifications of the ongoing booster campaign. The spike protein stays in the body for at least 15 months. If we start vaccinating every 6 months, I think the spike protein will never get out of the body, he said. The spike protein accumulates, and progressive accumulation is very worrisome.
You think? And that's probably, on the conservative side saying 15, they have no idea. How in the world do they know how long that's going to stay in your system?
Now, I'm going to try to post this if I can. Of course, they're going to censor me on Facebook.
Just like all the side effects and all of that, there's no way they can know over a period of time how much side effects or what the side effects are going to be.
Well, are you saying that you don't want to be a part of an experimental drug program that has no repercussions to the people who are manufacturing it if anything goes wrong?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying.
So should we list your new name as guinea pig or?
I'm not a guinea pig.
No?
And then look what they're doing with the military. How many of them guys are going to end up with dishonorable discharges and stuff because they refuse to get the job? Or less than desirable.
And we got to have the money at the local level.
We're desperate. It doesn't matter what strings.
We're desperate.
Because we're desperate. We got 991 people on the take. We got to keep paying them.
Let me play this little clip from our Board of Supervisors meeting so we can actually hear it again. Let's see.
The wonderful Leonard Modi one?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
All right, here we go. All right, are we ready? All right, here we go.
Go ahead, sir. I believe Supervisor Bob brought this up a few weeks ago, but I think we... Well, did we find out if there were strings attached to the ARPA funds coming in?
Good morning. There are strings attached, and I believe Supervisor Bob, kind of clarified that a little bit. I don't have that language in front of me, but... But yeah, there's certain disclaimers there.
That's Ruben
Cruz. I was going to ask.
Or Matt Ponte.
That we take in state and federal dollars. They usually have disclaimers there on not only how to use the funds, but the types of restrictions that are placed on that funding.
Okay. The language I heard was, and I think this would be really important for the community to get clarification on it at the January meeting, but the language I heard was, if we take in this money, we're subject to an audit up until 2025, and if we don't follow all mandates that are coming down from the state and federal level, then we owe all that money back. And it was pretty clear how it was written. So the issue I have is that if we accept that, we don't know what mandates are coming next. It seems like at this point Newsom's kind of shooting at the hip with all the mandates, and if we have new Board of Supervisors in the coming years that are going to actually push back on some of these mandates, all of a sudden we might be owing the state of California and the federal government $34 million, which we might not have in the budget at that point. So it might be a better move just to say we're not going to take it. So.
You're seriously suggesting that we should not take $34 million that this county desperately needs?
I'm suggesting that if we...
I just want to make sure that's what I heard you say.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Well,
Thank you. Do I have any other speakers in-house?
I'm just going to respond.
No, I didn't ask for a response.
I still have a minute left.
Okay, you can take a minute. Go ahead.
At this point, without knowing what mandates are going to be coming between now and 2025, I think it would be really unwise to accept money and say, we'll do whatever you say for that amount of money. And I think that the citizens in Shasta County would be important for all of them to know that we are being held hostage to whatever they have to say for $34 million. That's the point I'm making.
And just to add to that point, the reason why we're elected officials is every 4 years the community can step up and decide whether they agree or disagree with what we have done. That is how the process is designed. So there is a level of accountability built in by the founding fathers and the state. We run 4-year terms, and that allows us to be held accountable to the community. And I think sometimes we forget that. So I thought I'd give a gentle reminder.
Let's give a gentle reminder about a recall, too. The Founding Fathers allowed us to have that opportunity as well.
Two things there. The condescension of Modi is off the charts. But then Chimente, in other words, you don't have to listen to your constituents or the public for 4 years. You do whatever you want, and the way to get you out of there is to vote you out or recall you, but you're not supposed to listen to any of them? Really, it doesn't. In other words, the only accountability you have is the vote. Really? I thought you guys were supposed to be representing the people. So if the overwhelming majority of the people in the community say we don't want this money, and by the way, while you're stacking it up, this desperation that you need to give everybody raises, something stinks in Denmark here. I think it's rotten in the Shasta County Board of Supervisors chambers. And I don't think it's the people that stink. I think it's the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, specifically 3 of them, that smell to high heaven. What?
And I think it's been going on a long time. Not that they're not stinking. And they've just gone along with it. Well, you know, they just keep spending
about the money.
Money. Yeah, the money.
I yelled out one day, it's about the money. And then, of course, Modi comes back with, no, it's not about the money. It's about the people. It's about the health. Then if it's about the people and all that stuff, how come we're building this huge health and human services government agency that's get bigger and bigger and bigger and just, you know, basically sucks the marrow off the bone out of the community?
Right. I'd like to know in other counties.
Our own good.
Yeah. In other counties, do they have, in the health and human service department, do they have 991 employees? I bet not.
I don't know. They might have more. I mean, they're all getting the same money.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe.
Nobody wants to buck the tiger because, you know, while they're sitting in there stacking their pensions up and replacing the general fund with this other money that is free, basically, and they can look like the good guys because this is for the community. We don't want it to go someplace else. Maybe we shouldn't send it to Sacramento in the first frickin' place because
it
was our money.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe they should stop printing it out of thin air at the federal level and giving it away to the states so that they can blackmail the counties into doing whatever they're told. I don't know.
Well, yeah, we have a lot of options that we could do. Instead of just go along with the program, no matter what it is, no matter what the strings are that are attached.
Well, and when
money.
You put it all together and you find out that this is a plan, the Pfizer company, the big pharma has been planning this for a while. It's pretty well documented. The vaccines don't work very well, or if at all. Natural immunity is better. They suppressed all of the cures that actually work, that don't cost anybody very much money, and made it very difficult so that you had to get the jab. Then mandate all of the communities and everything to wear masks, get vaccinated, and over and over and over with boosters. But that all doesn't matter, does it?
No. No.
It's unbelievable. But, of course, these guys sit up there in their little drones and act like little demigods, gods of, you can elect us every 4 years, if you don't like what we're doing. It's unbelievable. The narcissistic, tyrannical crap that comes out of the mouths of these little tyrants. These petty little tyrants that think that they know better than everybody else. They don't have to listen to anything.
Well, they don't think they have to listen to anybody else because they're above the law. They know the best.
And you're going to turn down $34 million?
Because
yeah, if it's going to ruin the whole freaking county.
Yeah.
Because what happens when the money goes away? What happens when the strings are all attached? What happens when all the businesses go under? What happens if the economy takes a downturn?
They don't lose their pay.
Well, they're probably going to lose their pensions.
Well, not right now, but
maybe,
I mean,
not right away.
Yeah. Well, they don't think of that.
And then you got Mr. Fauci up there, the petty tyrant, you know, talking all this crap, changing his mind from week to week, this to that. Oh, mask, no mask, first mask, three masks, five masks.
And now you got to get this booster, that booster.
And then you got a puppet sitting in the White House who does whatever his handlers tell him to. If he makes a mistake, well, I shouldn't say that. I wasn't supposed to do that. Can anybody? Where's my ice cream?
They run interference for him quite a bit.
Where's my ice cream, man?
Yeah. But that's why people need to get involved, and especially here at the local level. I mean, there's just so much. I mean, that's crazy that there's 991 people just in that one department. So what else is going on in there?
In the meantime, not to promote Trump, thousands turned out to see President Trump in Houston. Amazing video is what I'm looking at. He filled up a huge stadium. But did anybody hear about that on the news? Did you see that on MSLSD or did you see that on CNN, the Communist News Network?
Yeah, the only time they talk about Trump is if they can bash him in some way. Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, CNN kind of got their own problems of pedophilia. Oh, yeah, that's just a right-wing conspiracy theory, only you got Cuomo, and now there's another guy that, you know, tape on Project Veritas of talking about a 14-year-old, and that is all coming home to roost on them while their ratings sink through the bottom of the barrel. But it's just all a right-wing conspiracy, the pedophile thing and human trafficking.
Right.
Oh, and Trump, he's probably ahead of it. These guys are so out of touch with freaking reality.
Well, we do have a caller that we need to get to. We've got Dick on the line. Good morning,
sorry.
Dick.
Sorry, was I ranting? Hey, good morning. Good morning, hey. Dick. Merry Christmas, Dick.
Is Mark Sue ranting and raving there now so I can talk to him?
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, you know, my wife, Frances, and I, we have a light at home on Barrel Court, which is off of South Bonneville,
mm-hmm.
at close to the intersection of East Bonneville and South Bonneville. Anyway, this is our 12th year with the Salvation Army Red Kettle out there. And I pleaded for some help yesterday on Pete Peter's show. And one gal named Janice called me. She listened to your program. Now I'm going to call her after this program's over. She said she could probably help Monday or Tuesday. But anyway, so far I've had Robert Exer's been out every night, and Morton. I pronounce him as Gaiseki. Last night he was trying to tell me it's a German name, not Japanese. It's a geese something or other. But anyway, his name is Morton. And I had Robert Rossi last night. He's come out twice, but I actually could use some more help. I don't need anybody that's going to just want to stand around and ring the bell. I don't even have the bells out there. I need what I call. They're not really street walkers. I call them street greeters. And they be out with a lighted necklace on their neck and a lighted Easter basket with 5-inch candy canes, and we pass out candy canes to children. And I could use some help doing that. And last year we raised over $41,000 for Salvation Army. It's going to be a tough thing to beat this year, but I really do need some help. If somebody could help, give me a call.
What's your phone number?
It's area code local 530. It's 246-9131. That's local 530, 246-9131. Also, like to mention, there's a free magazine that's published locally. It's called Enjoy Magazine. And Frank Rose is sort of the instigator of getting our story, about our Christmas experience on the December issue. And I happen to have about 75 copies in possession right now. If you drop by our house on Barrel Court and just ask for a copy, we'll give you one. It's a great story about the beginning of our Christmas experience here in Redding. And if you want a copy, just mention it when you come by, and we'll give you one till we run out.
All right. And then with the help that you need, what's a good time for people if they... What's the time that you need them for?
Well, the lights come on at 5 o'clock. Last night we didn't get through almost 10 o'clock. And my helpers, my three helpers, Morden, Robert X, and Robert Rossi, they stayed the whole time. We didn't get... It was about almost 10 o'clock before we shut down. And the closer you get to Christmas, the traffic gets... It's going to get more and more traffic. And anybody could stay the period, it'd be great. Or whatever time you could put in. But I really need somebody who I call them street greeters, that go up to the car, ask people if they would like to help with a donation to Salvation Army and how many children they have in the car. And we'll concentrate on giving candy canes to children. Because I started out with like 15,000 candy canes. And if we give them to everybody, we're going to run out in a couple more days. So we're mostly concentrating on giving it to children and a few whining adults who insist they need to have one.
All right. Give your number once again.
Okay. It's area code 530-246-9131.
All right. Well, hopefully somebody give Dick a call and see if you can help him out.
Yeah, you can't be bashful. You have to just go right up to the cars and greet them. They'll stop. Most of them will stop when you go up there. Last night there was a line of traffic for over an hour.
Wow.
And of course you get to Christmas, the traffic builds up. Christmas Eve we have traffic till almost 11 o'clock at night, and it takes about an hour. It backs up all the way out the South Binary past our barn, and on Christmas Eve it takes about an hour to get up there. But most people are fairly patient and wait in line, which is great. So anyway, I could use some help if people could spend a few hours. Just give me a call.
All right. Well, thanks, Dick.
Very good. Thanks,
and we
Dick.
appreciate everything that you and Fran do, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, same to you.
All right. Thanks. So if you can help Dick out, give him a call. He's a great patriot, and they do a lot for the community. And he's like 90 years old, so if you can help him out, you know, even if it's just for a few minutes, you know, an hour or so, that would be great.
I want to plug this book here about the real Anthony Fauci that was written by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And it basically says this book will show you that Tony Fauci does not do public health. He is a businessman who has used his office to enrich his pharmaceutical partners. And there's a couple excerpts from the book. Readers of these pages will learn how an exalted patented medicine Dr. Fauci has throughout his long career routinely falsified science, deceived the public and physicians, and lied about safety and efficacy. Dr. Fauci's malfeasance detailed in this volume include his crimes against the hundreds of black and Hispanic orphan and foster children whom he subjected to cruel and deadly medical experiments, and his role with Bill Gates in transforming hundreds of thousands of Africans into lab rats for low-cost clinical trials of dangerous air experimental drugs that, once approved, remain financially out of reach of most Africans. I got one more chapter or one more paragraph. You will learn how Dr. Fauci and Mr. Gates have turned the African continent into a dumping ground for expired, dangerous, and ineffective drugs, many of them discontinued for safety reasons in the U.S. and Europe. Does that sound like the guy you want in charge of your health?
Yeah, and he's been in there since something like Reagan. And I also heard, I believe it was today, I'm not sure where I heard it, you know, they actually, he was part of the HIV. It wasn't vaccines, but you know, the shots or the treatment for HIV. And back then they realized that a lot of it that they used, there were side effects and it didn't do what they thought. It actually backfired on them.
Well,
with that back then. And now he's kind of telling everybody how to do this COVID crap.
So you know, but nobody wants to know about this stuff. Nobody wants to see what's going on. Nobody cares about all this. Oh, it's all about
keeping you safe. Yeah.
It's all about keeping you safe.
So to go along with that, they were using people as guinea pigs, you know, back then. And people didn't realize that with HIV, he was in charge of that, you know. Scary stuff.
Well, anybody wants to pick the book up, it's called The Real Dr. Fauci, or The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health by Robert F. Kennedy. I'm sure you can pick it up at just about anywhere. You know,
and with that, we'll go to our caller. Good morning, Jenny.
Hey, good morning. Enjoying your show.
Thank you.
Just a quick one. As you all have been talking about supervisors, I thought this might be a pertinent question.
Yeah.
Approximately 3 years ago, when Ted Daines came to speak here at a small business group meeting, and when the small business folks asked him, who do we go to make sure that if funds come from the state that we know who to hold accountable if we didn't get the mental hospital. So the bigger point here is he told us, he says, you go to those supervisors meetings. He said only two counties in California, one is Shasta, and it could have been Siskiyou. I have to double check that. But the money does not go, let's say it comes from the state. It does not go directly to the project. It goes to the supervisors first, but they're the only two counties in California that do that. Now, I'd have to double-check the Siskiyou one, but I know for sure Shasta. So I don't know if that is still true, but it's worth looking into.
Well,
the money goes directly to the Board of Supervisors and not to the program that it's designed for.
Yes, they then decide where that money goes.
Right.
I'm sure that's
in fact because that's what they've been doing.
With the CARES and everything, that's exactly what they did.
They're doling it out to whoever they feel like. They're stoking up the Health and Human Services Department. You know, they're getting raises to all the department heads. They're doling out just a small fraction of it to the local businesses that happen to be friends with, you know, the Mangus guy, Jake. And, you know, and then you got his father, Mike Mangus, sitting on the board of some of these nonprofits. It's like the whole thing is just a rigged game.
Yes, exactly. And again, it's just worth checking into to see if that's still true, that we're the only two counties up here that do this. But Ted Gaines, this was when he was a senator a few years back, came here. And so it came from him a few years ago, but some of your great investigative folks might want to double-check that, see if we can change it.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. That's very interesting information.
What we've got to do in order to change anything is we've got to recall Modi, we got to get control of the board, and then we can start implementing some change. In the meantime, these guys have formed a block. You know,
more of a reason to recall them if that's going on.
They're all in cahoots between Rickards, Chimente, and Modi. For whatever reason, they've all formed a block, whether it's about the money or whatever it is. And they will not listen to their constituents. They will not listen to the public. They only have their agenda, and it's mostly money-driven.
And with that, I want to thank you for calling in, Jenny. We do have to go to a break. If you want to hang on, that's fine.
I just wanted to release that to you all and your listeners to see if we could verify that and take it from there.
All right. Well, thanks again, and we appreciate the call, and you have a Merry Christmas.
Okay, you too, folks. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And you're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The season's upon us. It's that time of year. Brandy and eggnog, there's plenty of cheer. There's lights on the trees and there's wreaths to be hung. There's mischief and mayhem in songs to be sung. There's bells and there's holly, the kids are gung-ho. True love
finds a kiss beneath fresh mistletoe. Some families are messed up while others are fine. If you think yours is crazy, well, you should see mine.
Every Sunday from noon until 2, our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Calais there. I hadn't seen that one or heard that one before. I kind of like her.
I've always liked her. She's good.
Yeah, she is. I got to say I do. Okay, so I if anybody's looking for resources, you could go to the Children's Health Defense. That's at childrenshealthdefense.org. They have legal resources, masks, vaccine, testing, you know, some resources that you can go to get some more information, how to stop the mandates and what to do in your cases and so forth. And so that's a good place. I think I'm gonna post it on Facebook here. We're gonna be going to another place here pretty soon on social media at some point. I keep saying it, but threatening it, but we are. It's a matter of time. Right now, we're fighting the battle on Facebook. But they just got they just took Stephen Crowder, Louder Than Crowder, off of YouTube yesterday for no reason. Violated community standards. Like, one of the biggest podcasts there is.
Is it final? Because that's been happening twice.
I think this final for
this third time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang,
yeah. He's gone. You know, so they're just
people are migrating to a lot of different areas.
Rumble and then Telegraph.
Telegram.
Yeah, I mean, you can get stuff over there.
Discord is one.
Discord. There's a bunch of different ones. And I think they're going to come out with one. If they come out with one that is really good, everybody will go to it. If it's really good, conservative, and we might end up flocking to wherever anyway, because at some point in time, you're going to have to give these guys the finger. I stopped doing Twitter quite a while ago because
I haven't done Twitter forever. But
I've never done Twitter.
Yeah, I did it for a long time.
I didn't really do much with it, and then it just started to get all the crap, and I was like, I'm done with that.
I'm a total meme guy, though. I mean, I've been just doing memes for so long, and putting them up and getting the message out there. I haven't been put in Facebook jail for like 3 or 4 years, whatever it was, because you got to be a professional meme guy and know how to miss the algorithms or have them miss you, you know. And if you don't have more than one account, you don't know how to do it.
Right. With that, we do have Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, want to say thank you for the presents.
Yes,
you're also awesome about that.
What a gal.
Santa left us a little message on our tip line, so, you know, we have to act on it here at Citizen Journalists. You know, we're not slacking around.
No, you're not. So what can we do for you this morning?
I was going to share just exactly what you're saying with this Children's Health Defense, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Right.
I oftentimes go to the site, obviously for videos and articles, but also to read the comments. And it's amazing how many intelligent, wise people. I mean, they're just saying Nuremberg is in the needle, folks. That's where the Nuremberg's about to come forth. And it's really not an experiment, this jab. It's not an experiment to Big Pharma. They know exactly what they're doing.
Well, they
know what they're doing, but they're using us. They're using us to get there.
No, and I want to appreciate you, Linda, your brother, Mark, and Dave Johnson for showing up at these Board of Supervisor meetings, because I tell you what, that is stellar what comes out of those 3 minutes on occasion. And, you have to wade through sometimes hours of it to get to some of these comments, but they released the one that we just had for the end of the year. I'm calling to bring to attention this one site that I came across while I was looking at the Red Pill Expo. Mm-hmm. I sometimes look at those. This man is called thevaccinepolice.com. And I watched a 7-minute video where he was in the South going into a Walmart pharmacy, not a bullhorn, just filming, and those folks closed down the little windows that you can get your prescriptions filled because they either knew of his reputation, and he's never rude, ugly, mean, or threatening. He just says, look, I love you people. I know you're trying to do well. You're being told what you're told to do, and you're following and complying. He says, however, I'm telling you today that these vaccines are harmful, they injure and kill people. So if you're going to continue to jab, poke, and whatnot, you're going to be under the Nuremberg. He goes, I really don't want to watch you being hung up, strung up, and all the rest. But he goes, that's on you if it happens. So he's kind of doing a whole different angle. My point that I want to share with the listeners is he has these documents and PDFs on his website, vaccine-police.com, that if your boss is threatening to fire you if you do not take this vaccination, he's basically saying, and this is through an attorney, the secret is not to instantly refuse the jab, which is counterproductive. Most of us would say, hell no, no thank you, and get off my ass. I don't want it.
Right.
He's saying, what you ask for is the following things. One, can you provide and advise an approved legal status of this vaccine and if it is experimental? Two, can you provide details and assurance that this vaccine has fully, independently, and rigorously been tested against a control group and subsequent outcomes of that? Three, can you please advise the entire list of all contents of the vaccine that I'm to receive, and are they toxic to my body? Four, can you please fully advise of the adverse reactions? Five, can you confirm the vaccine you're advocating is not experimental mRNA gene therapy altering and whatnot? Six, I'm almost done. Can you please confirm that I will not be under any duress from yourselves as my employers in compliance with the Nuremberg Code? Seven, can you please advise me the likely risk of fatality should the unfortunate happen, you know, that I die? Eight, last one, if I were to experience any adverse reactions, is the manufacturer of the vaccine liable? If not, is this company that I work for going to take on this thing? And then before, and never sign anything, he says, do not. Just say, hey, I'll entertain the facts. Show me you're going to do all the following that I'm asking for my safety. And then the last three things he wants is that you'll not suffer any harm. And if I do accept your offer for this vaccine, quote-unquote, I would like to have a qualified doctor sign off on this, Good luck finding that, by the way.
Right.
And in the event I decline this offer of your vaccine, please confirm that I will not suffer any prejudice and discrimination for my job. So I highly suggest people go to this site. I was very much taken by this man. His name is Christopher Key. He lost his job for some woke supervisor manager because, you know, they're feeling the pressure. And so he's turning it over to God and the faith, and he's going, this is my mission now. I'm going to expose the harm, damage, and medical murder. So that's my share for the rest of the year. I don't know if you'll be back next week, but there's a stocking stuffer right there, folks.
Well, I posted the Hunter Biden stocking stuffer on Facebook, just in case anybody wanted to, you know.
Well, I like that we have choices, Mark. Yeah. Anyway, you guys have done a fantastic job this year. I cannot thank you enough. I'm very much inspired by all the work that you all do. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Lori. We appreciate
it. We appreciate you, too.
Good holiday.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of digging and get a lot of information to us so we can get it out to people.
Well, you know, I was looking at an article right now, far-left mainstream media crashes and burns. This would be the printed media. They've lost as much as 48% of their readership in 2021, and I think it's going to get worse because who wants to be lied to? I mean, people are starting to figure it out, a lot of stupid people, you know.
You can see all the BS that goes on with it. Yeah. It's like, you know, who wants to take the time to read a bunch of crap?
Yeah, that's the unemployment rate's great. That's why there's so many homeless guys wandering in the street and sleeping
and all
in
the businesses are going out or moving out of California.
And they're moving out of California, and there's a bunch of boarded up businesses, and the choices are leaving, and the money is dwindling, and we're desperately needing more money from the counterfeiters in Washington.
Well, yeah, if we keep creating agencies that need 1,000 employees, I guess, yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, what's the problem?
That's the deal. With that topic, let's talk about five items you must have in your emergency preparedness plan.
Is this to keep me safe from my government or me to just survive?
This is a survival issue.
Okay.
This comes from My Patriot, Trusted Self-Reliance. Of course, they sell you stuff, and this is an article. But there's some things that you might want to consider
keeping guns.
Well, I don't know. That could be one of them.
And toilet paper.
Yeah, I know somebody that's giving all these items out for Christmas presents.
I do too. I have what I hope.
Number one.
Keep it safe.
Number one, I think, was, let me see what I got here. Number one is ammo, I think.
See? Oh, I didn't say ammo, but.
Well, I'm not sure it's number one. That's just what came up first, but clean. So for some reason, For some reason, it's not showing what I had.
Be able to
there.
Protect yourself and your family.
Well, it's talking about food and clean water and water filtration and ammo and cleaning supplies and medical and hygiene and, you know, these different categories. But and rope would be one.
Well, you could do a lot with rope on both sides of the coin.
That's
you know?
For the juicy sommeliers out there that, you know, want to fake a racist crime. And, you know, but you might want to look at this for your garage door
because you'll be in trouble if you use it to open and close your garage door.
Really?
Yeah, didn't you hear about the NASCAR thing that the little handle they said was a noose?
That's right.
Yeah, Juicy just got convicted of filing a false report.
No, it's true. Come on, you guys.
Well, no.
Okay.
All right.
What about tarp? What about a tarp? A tarp is a good survival.
Well, there's lots of things. Yeah, I think I would concentrate on the basics. Self-defense, food, water, that type of thing is where I would start, you know. And you know, it's kind of funny. We talk about it, you know, toilet paper. But you remember in the last year or so when all of a sudden
everybody
the supply.
Everybody freaked out.
Yeah, the supply chains, and all of a sudden it's like you couldn't get toilet paper.
Yep.
Just saying. I mean, there's other ways to take care of business, but they're probably not quite as comfortable.
Just take a shower after every session. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you get one of those bidets.
Get one of them.
If you're hunting like we used to do, you know, you can tell who went out there in the woods. They come back and half their T-shirts gone. But
that's gross.
or using the wrong leaves and their bottom's redder than normal.
And they start scooting across the carpet. Hey, you know, they got problems. But there's several items,
not even with toilet paper,
but there's other items like that that sometimes people don't even think about having.
It might be a good idea to maybe do a little homework on, you know, your little preparedness, flashlight batteries.
Water, yeah, you know, things like that.
Water.
Yeah, canned goods.
Canned goods. You know, not that I'm saying there's an emergency coming, but I think there's an emergency coming, and maybe I'm saying it. But it never hurts to be prepared. I mean, it's not like we haven't had any emergencies in the last few years.
Well, you know, people, when they sometimes, store food or whatever, or think about it, they think, oh, I'll be able to run down and get what I normally eat. No. So you may want to think about that a little bit. You know, you're not going to be able to go down and get, you know, like a TV dinner up in your microwave probably. But.
Well, we're probably going to have emergency, and I'm looking at the headline, CEOs of big box stores affected by mass looting. Beg Congress to crack down on internet sellers.
It's not called looting. It's called mass snatch and grabs.
Oh, well,
you
I can't
be racist.
The same
you can't be
looting?
Racist, Mark. We talked
about
this last
week. No, looting is racist.
Yes, it's called mass.
You can't
snatch and
use
grabs.
That term. That's being racist.
To the papers, it's true.
Oh, in a letter to congressional leaders on Thursday, CEOs of 20 leading retailers across the U.S. expressed concerns over the growing impact of organized retail crime. So I guess if you name it, something other
as
than
her.
It is, then it's not racist?
Yep, like riots aren't called riots. They're called peaceful protests.
Peaceful protests. Unless they're white.
It depends on what side of the protest you're on and why you're protesting.
That is called an insurrection.
Right. If you're and you're white and you're at the Capitol, it's insurrection.
Or a white supremacist rally?
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we've gone way into madness. It's just ridiculous. So now the big CEOs want them to stop retail on the internet. The signatories, which include Nordstrom's, Target, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Foot Locker. Dick's Sporting Goods shot themselves in the foot here right off the bat with their stance on, I would never go there again. You know, and there's a few stores in town I will never shop at again because of their stance on, following the mandates, doing whatever they're told, and then the white supremacy thing, and these guys are, it's like, oh, if you're, it doesn't matter if you're white, you're guilty. It doesn't matter, you're guilty of white privilege. Aren't we all?
Yeah, we're born racist.
Well,
even if you're not white, I'm a white privileged guy, I guess too, but I'm not white.
Yeah,
you're not.
You're racist.
I don't think so. But I'm racist.
Oh, you're racist.
But you're racist. Yeah.
Homophobic.
Hey, so this
you were born that way. It's not your fault.
Well, my grandma, in real life, with my grandma, was really racist, but that's fine. So this article you're talking about, is they're going to stop internet companies now?
Well, they're a letter to Congress.
Except for Amazon.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're saying that they're employing lawmakers to pass the Informed Consumers Act legislation that will modernize consumer protection laws to safeguard families and communities from the sale of illicit products. So what they're talking about is people looting their stores and selling it on the internet.
Oh, like eBay.
Yeah, eBay, there's a bunch of them, what's that other one, Craigslist. And
you can sell on Amazon, too, actually.
Probably
you probably can.
I'm a vendor, yeah.
Oh, can you?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
I bought stuff from bookstores in Montana.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They give you the option whether you want to buy it, like, from an individual or from a company. That's true.
Yeah. So, what's the problem? I mean, I guess Louis Vuitton down there in San Francisco doesn't like competition from the internet with their own goods.
Man, some of those videos, you guys, they looted all of the big major stores.
Yeah, smash and grab, man. And, of course, they're doing this because they're the downtrodden, oppressed dregs of society.
Yeah, it wasn't their fault.
They were stealing food. No, wait. That's not what they were stealing. They were stealing jewels and high-end merchandise that was worth a lot of money because they're so oppressed. Yeah. Crime's not a crime. And if it's under $1,000, if you were oppressed, you just walk into the store and take it anyway because that's not even illegal anymore. They don't want to...
Under 900.
Yeah, 950, I think it is.
Yeah.
So, if you're the oppressed...
But if you're stealing jewels.
No, but you're, if you're oppressed and you're really hungry, you just go through the shopping and you get your card out and you.
Oh,
just,
and tell you.
You just start telling. Yeah, you just bring your calculator.
Take your calculator till you get to 9:50 and say, see you later.
Thanks a
Joe.
Lot for the Christmas bonus and.
The cop pulled over. Sorry, officer, this is on sale, 2-for-1. It doesn't count.
Yeah, that's a BOGO, so you can only charge me one for a turkey.
You guys are out of turkeys? What the hell's going on?
Can you imagine?
It's probably just about the way it is.
Yeah.
I remember about 5 years ago, some guy, or it was a woman, ran out of downtown Safeway with a full shopping cart, just zoom, flying out the store, people chasing her. I guess now you can do it.
Yeah, you just walk in. Just say, excuse me. I'm taking this, and you know, you can get your ticket at the door. And if you get your ticket at the door, because it is a misdemeanor and a ticket, but then they can't put you in jail, because as soon as the DA decides he's not going to prosecute you, you know, you go down and maybe you spend a night in jail where you get maybe you get a free meal. You know, you get a free meal. Three hots and a cot.
No, if the ticket is cheaper than the groceries you got, it's better to do that.
But then it doesn't even matter, because if you haven't got any money for groceries, you think you got money to pay the ticket?
Who pays their court fines anyway, you know?
Well, they don't in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they're exempted from COVID vaccines or mandates. So, hey, maybe we should all move to San Francisco. You just have your poop map.
If the DA has it out for you, then they will prosecute you for the misdemeanor.
If you're white and you're legally carrying a gun, even though you have a valid permit to do so, I guarantee you they will roll you up. They will take your weapon. They will put you in jail.
Yes, they will. I know this for sure.
Yeah, because you're defending your constitutional right to,
no, I know
to self-defense.
Do that.
Oh, story time.
Yeah, it's been a while, but yeah, they will roll you up really quick.
But here's New York. We've got a bill in New York that would allow the governor to detain anyone considered to be a public health threat. So does that mean if you didn't get a vaccination, you're a public health threat and you can be detained?
What it sounds like.
Yeah, and it eliminates the religious exemption and parental consent, and when a child is 14, you know, elimination of parental consent for treatments children of any age, mandatory flu shots as a condition to attend school or daycare.
So if you're deteriorating like some people in society, is that a threat? I mean, you know, like Biden, he's kind of like deteriorating his. Is he a threat?
No, he's a threat. Yeah, he's a threat to himself, you know, and he's a threat to lots of ice cream parlors.
Oh.
But, you know, it's like, what? You know, it's like, I like chocolate chip. You know, I mean, I can't see how the guy's going to last much longer. And then I seen, you know, another thing on Kamala Harris where the guy comes on and talks about Kamala Harris is, oh, man, what a great gal. <Isn't he? laughs>
He's a great gal.
The stuff you just said, Mark, happened in Australia a few months back. And people are saying, oh, it's not going to come to America. Oh, it's coming to America now.
Yeah, if we don't, if we keep complying, it's just going to keep happening. That's why you don't have a choice at this point. You're either going to fight this or you're going to go along with the program. And if you go along with the program, it's not ever going to go away. I've got Fauci sitting here saying that, you'll have to wear your mask on airline flights forever. Well, so is there an issue?
Yeah. Do you see where the New York governor also said that, you know, because the children have had to wear the mask for 2 years, it's no big deal? What's the problem?
I don't know.
No problem. Just put some more on them. Yeah. And get them jabbed while you're at it.
I read an article recently released that Fauci says now that the Omicron Decepticon variant is going out faster than normal, that boosters are even more required now.
Yeah, except it's like a common cold, and there's no really reason to worry about it anyway.
But Fauci said it.
Did you see where Africa is not doing anything about it because it is like the common cold, and they're like, hey, it's not even worth the time or anything, so, you know, no problem. We're just going to bypass it.
Fauci also says not to go to Christmas gatherings where you don't know everyone's vaccination status.
Uh-oh. The yellow stars are coming, guys.
Yeah, you can put them on your chest, and you can.
Yeah.
Now instead of Juden out on the window, it's.
I'd like to know, how did Fauci get in there for so long and stayed? I mean, why has he been? Who decided he was God when it came to the health department?
Well, you know, he was appointed by some schmuck, you know, probably in the Democratic Party, and You know, probably approved by the GOP. You know,
I'm just saying. I mean, he's been in there a long time.
Well, it just goes to show you how swampy it is, and it's been swampy
forever.
That's
true. That's true.
You know, I mean, they're all involved in this thing, it seems like, but it doesn't matter. I mean, they've exempted themselves. The White House doesn't have to wear masks if they don't want to. They've exempted themselves from, you know, a lot of stuff.
And move to San Francisco if you want to be exempt. Just move down there and I'll be okay.
San Francisco used to be a nice place to go, but now I don't think I would ever go back at this point.
No.
You know, wear your hip waders and, you know, bring a poop needle map and, you know.
You have to wear a mask down there because it stinks so damn bad.
Well, you could go have some Chipino, man. You know, you can't smell it over the Chipino.
Yeah. And with that, we're at the top of the hour, and that means the end of the show.
Well, there you have it. We'll see you next week. Have a Merry Christmas. And if we see you next week, then we'll wish you a Happy New Year then. If not,
have a Happy
New
Year. Be safe out there, folks.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. Merry Christmas.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.